Now, every morning on the show, of course, earlier on, we do pray for people who send in emails and text. And here at Premier, we know that there is power in prayer. But do you sometimes find it difficult to pray? Sometimes situations that come along and the last thing we want to do is pray. We're just so distressed, so distracted. And maybe you don't know where to start or if you're saying the right things even, or if you're easily distracted.
It's the 13th of January. That's 13 days into the new year and we're getting you spiritually fit. Prayer is one of our greatest tools to communicate with God. So what better time? You know, we're brushing up on maybe our diet or other things. What about your prayer life?
Well, Rachel Jones is a bit of an expert on prayer. She's written a couple of prayer guides, five things to pray for your church, five things to pray for the people you love, and she joins us now in the studio. Good morning to you, Rachel.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much indeed for coming in. What makes prayer such a powerful tool?
Well, I think it's the person that we're praying to. We're praying to the creator of the universe, the one that has made it and sustains it and has power to do anything. And not only that, we're praying to him as our Father. If we're Christians, if we're trusting in Christ, God has adopted us into his family. So we're not begging of a far-off God who maybe is interested, maybe not. We're speaking to our Heavenly Father, who loves to hear his children talk to him. And he's absolutely delighted when we pray to him.
That sounds like a real treat and something that should be nourished. What are the things that get in the way of us praying?
I think sometimes it's easy to get distracted, especially when you're praying about a problem maybe, and then you just start thinking about the problem, thinking about how you could solve it, you know, the people involved. But we forget that God is the one who's in control, and he's the one who can solve our problems, who can work in our situations. So
yeah, we can get distracted in other ways as well. If I want the doorbell to ring, the
yes.
phone to ring, the postman to arrive, the dog to start barking, I'll get down to prayer. And it's amazing how these things start to happen. Immediately you feel distracted. I mean, I'm sure that's the enemy just not wanting us to pray. Would you say that?
Yes, definitely. I think prayer is a spiritual battle, and it's a real takes a real effort to, you know, carve out time in a day, carve out a routine of making a quiet space somewhere where you can focus and put the distractions aside and really talk to our Father.
I also think sometimes you can get so wrapped up in a problem that you forget that a priority should be prayer. You try and tackle it by yourself.
Yeah, prayer should really be our first response, and that's something, you know, I struggle with. I start thinking about, oh, what can I do to help this person or to fix this problem, where actually, you know, we see in the Bible time and time again our first response should be to pray about it, even if it's just a quick arrow prayer in the heat of the moment.
Very difficult to pray, I think, particularly with relationship problems. We mentioned right at the beginning of the program that maybe your spiritual life gets damaged, and we're thinking about that this week here on Premier, but it gets damaged by going to church, because the things that the pastor says that you don't like, there are people at church who rub you up the wrong way, and you come out of church quite cross about various things, and you really don't feel like praying about those things. You know, that's the last thing on your mind. You're just cross. How do you overcome that? Do you have to wait till you cool down a bit? Or?
I don't think so. I mean, if you read the Psalms, David is quite often angry as he's writing. He's talking about his enemies. He vents his emotion. He tells God his emotions, and then often you see a sort of come down, and it ends the psalm in a place of, you know, trusting in God's sovereignty, trusting that God is looking after him. But that's also why I'm really passionate about praying from the Bible. I know that I find it very easy to get my priorities wrong, to think I'm right, to think badly of other people quite easily. But when I read the Bible, and when my prayers bouncing off the Bible, are coming from what I'm reading, I find the Bible is shaping my priorities, and then that shapes my prayers.
So when you say praying from the Bible, you don't mean picking up a psalm that seems to suit your mood at the moment. You mean doing a bit of reading and then getting down to prayer.
Whatever I'm reading, you know, I look at it and I think, you know, how's this apply to me? How does this apply to other people? How does God want us to live? How do I need to pray in light of that? Where do I need his help to be more like Jesus?
Where do we start in prayer? Because if you ask a little child to pray, they'd probably pray, you know, God bless mummy and daddy, etc. Perhaps somebody a little older might say, and make peace in the world, and a few sort of major things, especially things like peace in the world and the problems of the world. I mean, do we need to start with the things that are up close and personal, and then widen out from there to family, to town, to country, to world problems, or can we dive straight in? And
I think you can pray what's on your heart. I mean, Jesus, doesn't he? He gives us a model to pray in the Lord's Prayer, and that's a great way to shape your prayers. So he starts by praising God for how holy he is. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. So he's sort of submitting himself to God's will. And then he prays for the little things in life. You know, give us today our daily bread. He teaches us to pray for forgiveness and to pray for our own heart attitudes. Help us to forgive other people as we've been forgiven. And you know, he says, protect us from evil. So that's the sort of those big issues, those things that seem so outside of our control, because they are outside our control. I think the Lord's Prayer is a great model, and like that, loads of the prayers in the New Testament, Paul was always praying, and they're great inspiration in some of the letters as well.
Right.
Someone's just texted in, Georgina. She said, where do you start in the Bible for readings and prayer? Where would be a good start point for someone like Georgina, who's maybe looking a bit lost? There's so much out there. Where's a good place to start?
Well, I think Psalms are great. I love Psalm 139. That's great for me when I'm feeling down or lonely or isolated. Just the other day I was reading Colossians, and that's got a great prayer at the start, where Paul's praying for people to be rooted and built up in their faith.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be quite hard to find, and that's one of the reasons I wrote these books, is that, you know, they're a really quick guide, so you can find the people, and then it's got a passage there for that person, and shows you how to pray from the Bible for that person, because it can be very, very difficult to.
So the book is Five Things to Pray for the People You Love, but you haven't shied away from more difficult, challenging things. So what advice would you give for praying someone that sometimes it's hard to love, or one of your friends who might have fallen away from Christ, or someone that you don't get on with at work? Or where would you stand there? How would you give someone advice to someone who wants to pray for someone, and perhaps it's more of a complicated issue?
Prayer for someone you'd like to smack.
Yes. Yeah, I can remember a few years ago I was helping with the children's work at a conference, and there was one particular child who was very annoying and was getting on our nerves, the whole team, all week. And on the final day, finally, it occurred to us that we should pray about it. We should pray about our own attitudes. Mm. And it was a real answer to prayer, because suddenly, like that, something in our hearts changed. The child didn't change, but God, by his Spirit, you know, miraculously, was able to change our hearts. So we can pray for other people, but ultimately we can pray for ourselves, and pray that we would respond in a way that's gracious, even when we're sinned against. You know, when people do horrible things to us, that does happen, but we can pray that we respond in a Christ-like way.
What's the and perhaps we should throw this out to everyone this morning, what's the greatest prayer you've ever had answered? I mean, you know, what is the most miraculous thing that's ever happened when you have prayed, and you've gone around for days after saying, wow, I can't believe this has been answered?
Oh yeah, that's a good, question.
I'll give you some time to think about
yeah,
that.
Okay,
I'll give you some time to think about that. I can think of a number of things actually, but particularly when my wife and I were broke many, many years ago, and I remember one day when we had a mortgage payment due, and we just didn't have any money to pay it. It was going to go out the bank account the next day and send us into overdraft. And the next morning I got up, and there was an envelope through the door with exactly the right amount of money to pay the mortgage.
Really?
We hadn't
amazing.
Told anybody about it. We just, you know, said, Lord, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
You know, and I think things like that are, you know, really faith affirming, aren't they, in all kinds
definitely.
Of ways. But we'd love to hear from you folks this morning. What's the greatest prayer you've ever had answered? Maybe a spouse that you prayed for 35 years and all of a sudden they've come to faith. The greatest prayer that you've ever had answered. Do email us, breakfast@premier.org.uk. It's 21 minutes past 8, you're with Inspirational Breakfast on Premier Christian Radio. This hour brought to you by the Harvest Partnership Independent Financial Advisors. Rosie and John with you through to 10. In the studio with us, Rachel Jones, who's giving us some help as to how we can pray through various things. And Rachel, I'll set you a challenge. Just before the travel news, what's the biggest thing you've ever prayed for and have had answered and you thought, wow?
Well, when I was at university, I had this flatmate that I lived with for 2 years and we were really good friends, but she wasn't a Christian. She was struggling with a lot of issues. She was interested in my faith, mm-hmm. and we had loads of conversations, and I was really praying that she would come to know Jesus for herself and know that relationship with God, and it seemed like she was almost going to become a Christian, and then she sort of stepped back and lost interest.
Yeah.
And we graduated from university, we both moved away from the area, but I kept praying for her even though I wasn't seeing her every day anymore. Mm-hmm. And about a year later I got a phone call while I was actually in the departure lounge of an airport about to go away for 2 months, and she says, "You won't believe it, I finally understood. I went on this retreat and now I finally understand, and you know, I believe, and I've been forgiven by Jesus."
Wow.
And there I was about to go off for 2 months, and I couldn't do anything about it.
I bet you shed a tear.
It wasn't me. It was just amazing.
Yeah,
and it was all God working. So that's definitely the most amazing answer to prayer.
8:35, you're with Inspirational Breakfast on Premier Christian Radio. And Rachel Jones is here with us in the studio. And we're getting questions as we talk about prayer this morning.
Margaret's emailed in. She said, "The Bible talks a lot about prayers of faith, praying without doubting. How do you find that place when so many prayers go unanswered and there's no sense of peace or the presence of God and there's so much disappointment?" She says she's been praying prayers of desperation like David and declaring what God says in the Bible, but it seems difficult to maintain after so many years of struggle. What would your response be to someone like Margaret who feels like prayers perhaps are not bearing any fruit, or she's feeling just in desperation?
I think we've all struggled with that to some degree or another. But I don't think we need to work ourselves into, you know, a place of absolute confidence or desperation. You know, our prayers will be answered and God will work because He is God and He is in control. So it's not the quality of our prayers that matters, but the person to whom we are praying, which is God. So if your prayers feel weak and you know they're short and you don't know what you want to say, you know, Paul tells us in Romans that the Spirit is interceding on our behalf, is groaning for us with wordless groans. So you know, when we just feel so lost and at sea and in a place of real struggle, we can cry out knowing that the Spirit is interceding for us, so that we know that God will be working. He knows what we need, and He will provide what we need. He will work in a situation for our good to make us more like Christ. And that's easy to stay in a studio like this, and it's much harder in real life. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely. Some great wisdom there, and a lot of wisdom. You've got a couple of little books that look at all these things, and mm-hmm. you've printed all kinds of formatted prayers. Would that be right to say?
Yeah. So there's two books: Pray for the People You Love and 5 Things to Pray for Your Church. So they take 21 people that you know, people who are suffering maybe, relatives, friends, and for each one it takes a passage of scripture, and from scripture suggests 5 things to pray for them. So it's really simple and gives you a structure to your prayer, which is doable and will help you to pray in line with God's priorities.
And I mean, you've got a whole range of different, you know, if you're thinking, oh, 5 things to pray for the people you love, I mean, pretty much anyone you'd want to pray for, I think, is in this book. There's a wife, a baby, school child, colleague, a non-Christian friend who seems hostile. It's got brilliant advice in here, these books, and a short read. You're not going to get sort of weighed down, so it's nice and concise.
Yeah, and a book you can just dip in and out of as well, which is very helpful.
Yeah.
Well, Rachel, thank you very much indeed for coming in, and may the Lord be with you in the days to come. Any more books that you plan to write? Any more subjects that are really gripping you?
Not at the moment, but hopefully in the future.
Watch this space.
Watch this space, yeah.
Rachel Jones, thank you very much indeed.